So, hello everybody. It's that time of the week where you get your inspiration, your entertainment, and just a general pick-me-up from the general bleh that is life in 2020. Now, it's time for Roll Drums. Matthew, here we go.
Enterprise, 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 it's the Enterprise Ian Show.
This week, we would do two things. We would talk about confidence in yourself and why people have the confidence to go and do their own thing, start their own business. And then we're going to segue into something. It's a topic which we'll reveal later. But to help us understand more about ourselves, more about our motivation, more about our general sense of well-being, we have a fabulous guest, Susan Granfield. Hi, Susan.
Hello, hello. It's lovely to be here.
Susan, we first met and your original business was called SG Development Solutions, which was very corporate, and I thought at the time, it's not quite what Susan is. So, first of all, before we kick off... Are you having fun?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you making money?
I am.
You're the first person that's been honest to say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And are you living a better life?
I am, yes.
Okay, so there you go. You must have come from an employment background. Somebody, you were a salary person.
I was, yeah.
What happened? Tell me about how you decided to start the business, what it is, and where you're at today.
So I was a corporate person. Yep, for 10 years I was in the corporate world and very much climbed the corporate ladder and got to a point where I was getting close to the top of where I was in the corporate world and thought, this is
not for me. What kind of corporate was it? Was it banking? Fine?
It was hospitality. So I worked for Hilton International for 10 years. So I was in hotels. And the role I had before I finally left was as a regional learning and development manager. So I had 26 hotels. I was responsible for all the learning and development. Yeah, it was great. Now, loved it. But
you see, I was going to say, that should have been fun.
It was. It was for a long time.
But something happened.
Yeah, I think it was a sense of there's got to be more to life than this is doing stuff and doing really good work, but basically for other people to make money. You know, the whole thing about having shareholders, and it felt like everything was focused on making money. And I remember specifically there was one time where there was a new training program we were supposed to roll out. So I had to roll this out to all of my hotels. And I remember standing at the front of a room and I had 26 HR managers who I was supposed to be selling this program to. And I thought, I don't believe in this program. This is not what we should be doing. This is not what people need. And it was that moment where I really thought, I need to do something where I can be a bit more in integrity, where I get to choose to do the things I think are going to make a difference. So that was kind of the point at where I started looking outside of the corporate world.
And what happened next? Did you go back home to your husband and go, I've had enough of this? Or did
no,
you...
it was a slow burn, actually. It was really a slow burn. I started looking, but what I realised in hindsight was I started looking for things that were actually quite similar because I was staying within my comfort zone. And then what happened was, out of the blue, I got a phone call from someone saying, there's this consultancy I was living in London at the time, and they're looking for people just like you with all your skills and experience. You know, would you be interested? And I thought, well, why not? I'll go and have a chat with them. Basically, it was to be a self-employed consultant. So a self-employed coach, trainer, facilitator for this organisation. I had never at that point thought about being self-employed. Just wasn't on my radar at all. From a family that was pretty much all worked in the NHS. So very much that sort of almost job for life, job security sort of mentality. And so I'd never thought about being self-employed. But I went along. It really sparked a curiosity in me about what could life be like if I had the sort of freedom and autonomy to choose to do the things I wanted to do. And so that was basically it. And so I left my corporate job and became a self-employed consultant.
To be happy and you know it's like your boss. To be happy and you know it's like your boss. To be happy and you know it, tell your boss to go and go it. To be happy and you know it's like your boss. To be happy and you know it's like your boss. To be happy and you know it's like your boss. To be happy and you know it, tell your boss to go and go it. To be happy and you know it's like your boss.
Thank you. And now, where were we? Ah, yes.
Sorry.
When you decided to leave, having peeked into another world, which had possibilities as opposed to accountability, when you decided to make that crossover, what did your family say?
Well, I think it's probably what they said to me and what they were saying to each other. And I think they could be two different things, because my family are very supportive, always have been. I've got two brothers and my parents have always been supportive of whatever we've done. So there was a lot of, oh, right, OK, great. Is that what you want to do? And a lot of, you know, kind of reassurance and, yeah. And,
but, fixed smile.
And smile,
oh,
yes.
That's wonderful, even
though,
Susan.
Even though I don't...
We're really proud for you. And then you go away and you go, oh, my God, you know what she's going to do?
I think that the biggest thing that probably was a concern for them was the fact that I wouldn't have a monthly salary. My dad in particular is very sort of risk averse when it comes to money. And so I think that was probably in the back of their minds. And pretty much every time I've spoken to my dad since then, and that was 14 years ago, he says to me, so how's business? Making money? He doesn't. My mum asked me how I am. He asked me how my business is. And thankfully, every year since then, I've been able to say business is good and making money. So that keeps him happy.
What do you do?
Well, that's a good question. I think my parents would like to know the answer to that as well. Okay, so what I do is I create space for people to explore what's going on in their lives, what's working for them, what's not, and to help them kind of find a way to be able to do more of the things that they really want to do in their lives and in their businesses. So I kind of hold that space. I listen to them. I reflect back what I hear from them. I give them some approaches and tools and techniques that help them get more clarity. So some people call that coaching. And the reason I don't say that up front is because I think people have perceptions of what coaching is. But that's basically what it is. It's holding that space.
And who pays you to do this?
I have a number of different types of clients. I do still do work in the corporate world, which is really interesting to go back into it with a different sort of reason for being there. So I do have some corporate clients where I do sort of leadership development work and things like that, which I do enjoy doing. But I also work with business owners, so CEOs of small businesses or SME businesses, owner managers of small micro businesses, and then also people who perhaps work in the corporate world but are at that point I was at where it's like there's something different could be going on for me here. So it's really anyone who's thinking, I think I could be enjoying life more, I think I could be doing more or better than I am right now, but I'm not too sure what to do about it or where to start.
Looking back on the younger Susan, did you have a you to talk to?
Interestingly, actually, one person I did speak to was my boss at the time, because she had her own business and then come back into corporate. So she was actually really supportive, and we had some really good conversations.
Well, there's a lot of research done over in America and in Britain that because people don't know who to talk to, they stay within the comfort zone of being an employee, which is timely because I've got a new book out. Who would have thought it?
If you fancy ditching the employee habit and being your own boss, then head over to www.kicktheemployeehabit.com for Enterprise Ian's fabulous new book.
Matthew, what gave you the fear when you decided to go out on your own?
Well, I didn't quite decide to go out on my own. I was kicked out. Well, it was. I didn't really have much choice. I had to make do with what I had going at the time.
Well, actually, you're here, Susan, so we may as well put you to good use. Would you like to ask Matthew, Kevin, and Fiona, because they all work for themselves, a few questions? Would you like to give us some insight into how you go about things?
Absolutely. Fiona, I'll come to you then. So, yeah, what was the driver behind you making the decision to move into what you currently do?
I'd been in employment. I had been self-employed before and finished that, was event manager. And then I'd gone into employment and it coincided with me having my child and moving back up to Oban. So I'd moved away from the job that I did before now, and so I couldn't go back to it, and I didn't really know what to do up here. Got a call from Ian, and he suggested I could help out on some projects as a short-term thing, and I thought, well, why not?
Sort out the mess that I was making.
Yeah, not at all.
You know, well, I'll chip in there, because this is actually, when we'll come to the other thing, is I was chatting away to a young photographer yesterday. And he worked for himself, and he said, oh, I remember when we were at college, this guy, photographer, came in and said, if you're going to be a photographer, let me just tell you that you will be spending 20% of your time doing photos. The rest of the time will be bringing in business, doing the books. And I went, what a stupid thing to say. Why don't you get somebody who's good at what you're bad at to do what you do what you love, not what you loathe? And that's where Fiona came in, because Fiona loves a spreadsheet. I hate a spreadsheet. Fiona loves getting things organised. I am sort of organised, but not in the way that, you know, you really need. So do you think, Susan, that people actually think they have to do everything when they start out on your own? Mm-hmm. Did you do that?
I did. The one thing that I knew I didn't want to do was my account. So the first thing I did was get an accountant. But yeah, I absolutely thought I had to do everything. That kind of, I was going to say, got me into trouble. Didn't get me into trouble, but it got me stuck quite a few times where I guess I was wasting a lot of time doing things that were not what was, A, not the reason that I started out on my own in the first place, and B, not actually adding value to the business or to what I was offering people. So, I definitely got stuck there. Definitely.
Kevin, what do you hate doing?
Hate doing it? Well, I hate book work. Like Susan, I first thing when I set up was to make sure I had an accountant. And I've got a box down here with all my receipts, every receipt's all over the place. I hate all of that. So, you know, and as you said earlier, just concentrate on the things that you enjoy doing.
How do you get people to this stage where they trust themselves, Susan?
More often than not, when people are encouraged to and given the space to, they can find the confidence within themselves. Confidence isn't an external job, it comes from the inside. And we've all done something in our past where we feel we've done it well or we're proud of it. So there's something about peeling back all the layers of doubt and the layers of perhaps other people telling us we're maybe not as good as we think. Or there's a lot of layers that we have as we get old, you know, as we move through life and we have life experiences. Not only do we learn from that, but it also creates these kind of almost onion layers that actually can get in the way of what is, I guess, what is innate within all of us, which is we all have skills and strengths and qualities that we can draw on. And sometimes you just need to rediscover those.
I was going to say, I remember working with a guy who set up an amazing software company, and his motivating factor was his father saying, you'll never amount to anything. And that had a burning effect on Donald. And he was, his drive in life was to show his father how wrong he was. So do you get that with people?
We have the sense of self, and there's a self with a big S and there's self with a small S. And the self with a big S is who we really are, who we were kind of born into the world to be. It's getting a wee bit spiritual, but I really believe that.
Oh, no, I love it.
The small S is the self that we develop over years, listening to what other people tell us about us, telling us how the world is, telling us how we should do things. And through our own experience, so we develop a sense of identity that is actually a collection of stories. And some of those stories are helpful, but a lot of the time people carry a lot of stories that are not helpful. So one thing I do with people is help them to hear the stories they're telling themselves about what's possible and what's not, and who they are and who they could be. And it can be quite emotional and quite powerful for people. I'm not a psychotherapist. I don't take people into the past and, you know, traumas and things like that. I mean, if people need to go there, that's fine. I'm much more about where are you right now and where do you want to go? And if we can let go of those stories, it makes it much easier.
Have you met anyone who's uncoachable?
Uncoachable people are people who don't want to be coached. So yeah, I have met people who are not coachable because they don't want to go there. They don't want to turn and look inwards. And you know that phrase, you can take a horse to water, you can't make it drink. The best coach in the world can't get someone to open up if they don't want to. But other than that, if somebody's willing to, anyone's coachable.
What three things would the current Susan Granfield say to the young Susan Granfield as she's starting out on creating her own business? Top tips, insight. I mean, how would you have helped yourself?
I think that the first thing, it goes back to the question you asked earlier about who did I have to talk to. I see now that I felt I needed to, if I'm going out on my own, I need to do this on my own. And so my advice now would be absolutely to find people, groups. I mean, with all tech, the way we're using technology now, to connect with people, like-minded people, is so much easier. So I would say, ask for help.
Now, that is really powerful, because what I was going to say is, when people ask for help, they believe the help is on the structure of the business, the finance, the marketing. That's not the first thing you start with. Do you find that people will not talk about themselves, but they will go, oh, the business idea, and all the advice that's out there is, what's your business? What's your market? What's your USP? Yeah. I hate starting with that. It starts with you. The business starts with you.
Yeah, I think people, and I see this, that, you know, going back to when I started out, there was a real sense of needing to know how is everything going to work. You know, it's like I need to know what are the steps. And there's a lot of information out there about how you set up a business, how you write a business plan, all these kinds of things. But actually, it's a bit like the analogy I use. I love hill climbing, and The analogy I often use is that, particularly in the west of Scotland, you often can't see the top of the mountain. It's in the clouds. But you know the direction you're going in, and you know there's a top there somewhere. You have to just keep taking steps. And sometimes you're halfway up the mountain and you're looking going, where's the path now? I don't know, but I know I'm still heading to the top. And you take a few steps and the path becomes clear. Just keep stepping forward and the how will become apparent. And the third bit, just linked to what you said, Ian, I think the third bit of advice would be, particularly if you're setting up a business where, like me, I'm at the centre of it, it's me that I'm selling effectively, is to really believe in yourself and to know that the structure part will follow.
You decided actually to go almost full tilt into the world of self-employment. And I'd like to introduce the phrase that is the phrase du jour or de l'année, which is...
A new job's in, the old job's out, keeping both a going and shake it all about. Oh, you do the side hustle. Oh, you do the side hustle. Oh, you do the side hustle. Build a business, rah, rah, rah.
It's side hustle. And apparently it's become, well, I would have said is dipping your toe in the water. How did you dip your toe in the water, Kevin?
If I'm being honest, I did a little bit on the side first. Because like Susan, I was really scared, worrying about what the bills, how am I going to, are you going to pay the mortgage, all those sort of things. So yeah, I did a bit of side bit first. For me, what I've learned in business, especially running my own business, is having a harder skin, very sensitive, and worrying about what people think. And I think those 10%, you know, having that catalogue of people in your life, you know, not worrying about those. So having a harder skin for me, it was in business.
How do you learn that, Susan?
It's maybe not the phrase that I would use, but I totally get what you mean, Kevin. And something I've found really helpful, and I use this a lot with clients, is helping them to develop a mindset based on mindfulness. Now, there's a perception that mindfulness is just about sitting and meditating and being quiet. And yeah, that's part of the practice, but there's the attitude of mindfulness, which is to be able to let things go. So to not hold on to things that are not serving us. So to, you know, if you do get, let's say you get, you know, a bad review from someone, or, you know, you pitch to someone for a piece of work and you don't get it, there's a lot of self-talk goes on about how what I've done to create that and I'm not good enough. And the practice of mindfulness helps us to see that those are just thoughts. They're not true.
In my potentially best-selling book, How to Stop Being an Employee and Become Your Own Boss, one of the elements I put in it, one of the habits, because the book is actually all about habits, and one of the habits I say to people is to learn to trust yourself. And I remember doing a talk to a group of businesses and people about start business in rural Perthshire, and I actually said, learn to trust yourself. And there was a lovely couple, there were two friends, and one of them started to shake slightly. And a friend just put her hand on top of it and just patted it. So I couldn't not let that chance go to waste. So I said, I noticed you were shaking slightly when I said that. And she said, I have never had confidence in myself, and it manifests itself in not being able to charge for the goods and services that I do. Now we're really getting to something with this whole, and that's why I'm kind of curious about the side hustle at the same time as making the move, because you begin to get confidence in yourself, you begin to get confidence in your product and service, but how do you, any top tips to help people give confidence in themselves? So they can charge more for their product and service.
Sorry, Kevin.
That got me thinking.
For me, confidence was winning a couple of awards as well, putting them on the wall.
So how can we build confidence in ourselves?
We have to do something to kind of get the feedback. Now, feedback could be in the form of an award, or it could be just feedback in terms of, I tried that and the world didn't end. Okay, that gives me confidence to try again. So to build confidence, we have to take action.
Do you think we understand the importance of other people and how they behave and their effect on us? Some years ago, I did one of these Valuemetrics profiles, which I found really quite interesting. In fact, it was embarrassingly so, because it told me that one of the things I do is think quite a lot and reflect quite a lot, but if somebody challenges me in open forum and they've not done their homework, I totally destroy them. Now, for me it's not personal, but for them it is. And I could never understand why some people really hated me with a vengeance. I was going, oh, let's go out for a drink, because that was the way I was brought up at uni and all of these things. You know, you had a fairly robust discussion and that was it. And they're going, I hate that Ian Scott, that enterprising. He's going down next time I meet him. And I'm going, hi! That was not really very good understanding of me and other people. Mm. But the other thing that happened is a few weeks after that, I was on took part in a young Princess Trust Enterprise thing. And we were all put into groups. It's not something I would normally be doing. And somebody took over. And it was a challenge, and you had to take this T-shirt and add value to it. It was a really fun event. We were tying up with people in Brazil and other places where, you know, so you learn so much. But this, one of the participants, she said, right, what we're going to do is this. And she took charge of the meeting straight away. Now, old Ian would have gone straight in there and hit her, you know, by going, no, I don't think so, because... But I had then realised that my reaction to this person was the fact they hadn't thought about this at all. They took control. They took command. It was I think it's red, it's the alpha, it's the leadership. I'm the boss, I'm not trucking opposition. But this time I waited and I started asking a few questions. And bit by bit, you could see the rest of the group shuffling and going, God, this is rubbish what she's talking about. And then I pounced, because I went, hang on a minute, you're talking about a 90 pence T-shirt from Primark and putting Swarovski crystals on it. It's something that was made in a sweatshop. We shouldn't be doing any of these things. This is a waste. This is a disgrace that we are celebrating child labour and you're trying to get more money by putting Swarovski crystals on it. And somebody went, you're quite right. What we need to do is let's make our things. This T-shirt costs lives. And the whole thing took over. And for me, it was really good fun, because partly because I won, and I wasn't into, and I'm not that kind of competitive that way, but you could see this individual backing off and the rest of the group having the confidence to come forward. So what I was going to ask you, Susan, is how intimidated are we all by people who seem to have the instant answers, the certainty, they know where they're going? There's a lot of them around. You can call them bullshitters. But this swaggering confidence, I find really undermines me.
So I remember reading a book a good few years ago now, maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago. And it's a book called Quiet by Susan Cain. And it is all about the power of the introvert. Now, I know you're not necessarily talking about introversion and extroversion, Ian, but what reading that book really showed me was the power of the person who sits more quietly and who's more reflective and who isn't the first person to speak. And it really gives confidence to people who are more naturally the reflectors or people who like to have more time to think something through before they take action. So there was a huge amount of scientific evidence in there to say that those people often can be far more successful. So I think things like that are reassuring to people who are more introvert or more introverted or less of the bolshy, I'm gonna you know, the sort of apprentice style. You know, if you watch The Apprentice, I haven't watched it for years now, but they're all about, I have to speak first, my idea has to. And you see how that just doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
So this is actually where we're kind of going with this, which is I'm going to actually, on the spot, I'm going to launch the Enterprise Ian Show hashtag side hustle challenge. And what I'd like people to do is have a shot at a business on the side. Do something. Learn how it goes on and share your stories with us at hashtag side hustle stories and we'll feed back. But what I'd also like people to do is put a percentage, 10% or more of their profits into a charity. We'll give some suggestions or the charity of your choice, because what better way to start than actually doing something you've always wanted to do but been too frightened because of you to put it off. What do you think, Susan? You think it's a good idea?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the thing, it's always a bit of a morbid thought, but if you think, you know, who knows what's going to happen to any of us tomorrow, let alone next year. And there's this wonderful poem where, and I can't remember it to recite it to you, but it's talking about, you know, whenever your last day on earth is, do you want to look back and go, I wish I'd done that? So there's really that thing of don't hold back, because who knows what's going to happen? Find something that you're passionate about. And it's not because you think it's going to make a good business. It doesn't matter what's going on up here to start with. It's got to come from down here. It's got to come from your gut or your heart. And if it's telling you to have a go, then have a go, because it's got legs. If it's coming from your heart or your gut, it's definitely something worth trying.
And what better, more uplifting way to end than what Susan's just said, which is, do you want to start looking back going, I wish I had? So come and join us on the Side Hustle Challenge. Come and join us on the Enterprise Ian Show. And come and join us in any shape and form. Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Susan, for being a fabulous, inspiring guest. Yay!
Pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Enterprise Ian Show. Join the club at www.enterpriseian.scot.